It's good to see everybody out here today. We are continuing on with the Messages from the Mount series that we began several weeks ago now. And today's lesson in particular is going to be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. We're going to call it Treasure Seekers. Any treasure seekers out there? Anybody seeking treasure in your life? We'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about seeking treasure. The text in your pew Bibles is found on page 1504. I want you to listen carefully, but it will be on the screen for you as well, to this text and these precious words of our Savior. Jesus says there in verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," say the last part with me, "your heart will be also." Your heart will be also. Very, very important principle that Jesus teaches. And I ask, any treasure seekers? I believe we all seek treasure of some kind. There are things that we long for, we believe will improve our quality of life, and we pursue those things because we believe they will bring value to us. We believe, again, they will bless us. We believe they will make our life worthwhile. They'll fulfill us. They'll just make life worth living. So we pursue those things. We seek treasure. There are material things that we value. Houses, cars, jewelry, or just hard cash. We have other things maybe that aren't in those lists, but you know, there's possessions, there's material things that we value, we look at, and we long for. And we really do believe if we just had those, boy, our life would be great, wonderful, and it would stay that way. We pursue those things. Yet some folks in Texas and Florida were reminded just recently, were they not, that adage of here today and gone tomorrow rings true. Many people lost those treasured things, and now they have to cope with what they're going to do now without those treasured things. Can they be replaced? Some of them can. Will it cost a lot to replace them? For some of them, more than they have. More than they'll ever be able to replace in this life. People come alongside. I'm so thankful again for those who are coming and helping out and assisting and trying to help people rebuild. But some of the stuff won't ever be rebuilt. Some of it won't. Others have made investments that didn't pan out. None of you have ever done that, I'm sure. You never, you know, put your eggs in a basket and then found the basket had holes in it. I personally did that. I put all of my eggs in one basket as far as my retirement was concerned. And that basket fell apart. I know of millionaires, personally, who lost it all. They're no longer millionaires. I should put it that way. They were once millionaires, at least on paper, if not in any other way, when the value of their stocks suddenly plummeted. And, well, along with that went their dreams, their hopes, their security. There are positions we consider worthy, aren't there? Being an executive or a CEO or having a job with a sizable salary at least or a decent benefit package, maybe even some great perks like company cars or corporate cards. And I don't hear this anymore. I used to hear about a key to the executive washroom. Boy, if you just had that, you know you've reached it. You've arrived. Yet there are some here right now, right here in our assembly today, who've lost jobs. Some of you, that's happened in the past, and you lost jobs that you thought were secure. Maybe you're not there, but you're concerned because of the way the economy is going, the way things are going, that the next corporate restructure may leave you out in the cold. With little prospects of anything more than an entry-level position elsewhere. And that can be shattering because your hopes were there. Your security was there. That was your treasure, whether you called it that or not. We cherish meaningful relationships, do we not? We cherish them. Family and friends. I value my family and friends. I treasure them. Do you treasure yours? Do you treasure them? Do you recognize just how wonderful and blessed you are to have family and friends? So many others, you know, treasure a significant other to do life with, to share life with. And by that, I don't mean that as just anybody that you might choose, but the idea that you would choose someone that would honor God and honor them in the way that He intended. Having someone like that to share life with, to share your hopes, your dreams, but also your heartaches with. Someone to live with and grow old with. So many people don't realize what a treasure that is. Some people take it for granted. Others long for it so much and don't have that kind of relationship. And they many times will trade off things, trying to purchase that somehow, to buy that, to earn that somehow. But as much as we value those treasures, if you've lived any time at all, you know that you can lose the most treasured things like family and friends and spouses. That people pass away. Some people just go away. And it can be heartbreaking. It can be very heartbreaking. We don't want to ever take loved ones for granted. And we know, maybe have personal experience, the tomb of loneliness is one of the darkest places on this earth. But you know, all of those things, possessions, positions, relationships, what if you had all of those, but you didn't have youth or health? Many have saved up for retirement only to die early. Or find themselves, you know, later on in life so ill or frail that their estate is eaten up to pay for their maintenance. As the lyrics of an old song declare, money can't buy back your youth when you're old, or restore a love that has grown cold. We treasure those things. We really do, don't we? We have things that we value. But Jesus has a caution here for us, doesn't he? He has a word of caution about this. And really, he's telling us what I've just told you. Treasures on earth do not last. No matter how precious, no matter how wonderful they might be, no matter how much you place a high value on them, they do not last. They tarnish with age. They wear out with use. And yes, even treasured people may be taken from us or may choose to leave the relationship. So as we treasure those things, we need to be careful that we don't treasure them so much that we think that's all life is about. For Jesus describes the kind of treasures that we should have a priority about seeking. He describes heaven's treasures. And he says they're secure. They are secure. They can't be lost. They can't be stolen. That's what he says. They can't be lost. They can't. Anybody have anything you value that you have lost? Or maybe you just misplaced and it took you a while to find it again. And maybe there's a panic mode and you lose that thing. That's precious to you. Well, guess what? Jesus says there's a treasure that can't be lost. And it can't be stolen. Anyone ever take something from you you valued? I've had that happen to me. You know, and I was upset about it. Even angry about it. Too much so at times. Too much so. But Jesus is saying there's a heavenly treasure that can't be stolen. Thieves can't take it from you. No one can take it from you. That sounds pretty good. And again, he talks about these treasures that, see, endure. And it's not only that you get to keep them, the value lasts. The value maybe even grows. It's not that they wear out. They don't fade away. They can't be used up. They are eternal treasures that last forever. Wow. He says those are the treasures we need to seek. And make it our priority to seek. Right? That's what he's saying. Now, it may be impossible to precisely identify what these heavenly treasures will be. I believe there's all kinds of hints in Scripture about them. But again, Jesus certainly indicates to us, I believe he does more than that. He makes it clear to us that they do exist. They do exist. In the Sermon on the Mount, and we touched on this several weeks ago, but he talks about rewards there. He talks about God rewarding suffering persecution for his sake in Matthew 5. About rewards for those who love their enemies. About rewards for those who are discreet in their giving and fasting. We spent time talking about that. And also Hebrews 11:6 emphasizes to us that it's our Father who does this rewarding. Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount. But in Hebrews 11 verse 6 it says, the Heavenly Father rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Who earnestly seek Him. There's a treasure to seek. We'll talk more about that in a moment. To seek Him. To seek Him. And if you do, He rewards you. That's what it says. Very clear statement. He rewards. We must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He rewards those. That's what the text says. Who earnestly, that's diligently, seriously, sincerely seek Him. Yet, history would bear out that few of the faithful ever personally received physical rewards for their sacrifices and faithfulness. Matter of fact, Hebrews 11:13 tells us that even some who appeared to be rewarded in life did not receive all God intended for them. That He wanted to reward them more than what they received. It says there that all these people, and it speaks of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Interesting. So rewards that God had for them that they received in life, but some for the next life. Some for the next life. Later on in Matthew 10, Jesus also refers to the reward of a prophet. The reward of the righteous person. And even rewards for those who help His little ones who are His disciples. Now, I've talked with people who look at this and they say, well, he's not talking about any rewards in heaven. He's talking about rewards here on earth, rewards that you would receive. They're only available here on earth. And there's some merit to at least that consideration. The prophet's reward perhaps could be him helping someone who blesses him with a word from God. That's a precious treasure that people often overlook. Just hearing from God, having a personal message delivered to you from God, that God would care about you and affirm that through a prophet. Or maybe a healing or some other blessing that the prophet would bring to you, that a reward from the prophet. This really coming from where though? From God. But some rewards from prophets could be the idea, then rewards for a prophet. And the Greek can be either way there. The reward of the righteous or the one who assists a child or a disciple of Christ could be just having a clear conscience at night. Is that valuable? Is that worth anything? Is that something that you treasure, being able to put your head down and just be at peace and know that you've done the right thing? and you're in a right relationship with God, well, that's something to be treasured, isn't it? And it could be, you know, just that I've done the right thing, and I know that maybe I didn't receive any personal benefit from it in the now, but I'm okay because I did the right thing. So there's some rewards. Matter of fact, Proverbs 15:6 says, the house of the righteous contains great treasure. Could be material. Could be, again, some peace of mind, some confidence, some assurance, some peace. Just knowing I'm right with God. Matthew 12:35, Jesus said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. So we have a treasure here. The Apostle Paul's words in 1 Timothy 6 also can support this idea of, again, some of these rewards being for the now. He says in verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich in this present world, in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in the wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, it does seem to be indicating some blessing, some reward for the now, right? When we do what? We put our hope in God, not the wealth. And when we put our trust in God, not our treasures on earth. And recognize even where the treasures on earth come from. Where do they come from? It is by the grace and mercy of our great benefactor, Father God. Whatever good you have, where did it come from? All good and perfect gifts come from above, the Father of lights. All from Him. So yes, some present reward. But He goes on in the next verse. He also says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that's truly life. No matter how you might interpret that, he's talking about rewards to come, not present. And again, knowing that the rewards would come from God in the future enables us to live life to the fullest. Enables us to know that we are right with God, we're doing right by God, we're doing right with what God has blessed us with. And what peace there is in that. What confidence there is in that. What assurance, what a treasure that is. To know that. Know that my soul is secure. My home in heaven will endure. My life with God is real. And it's really going to be forever. Isn't it precious? Isn't that something worth celebrating? Jesus certainly says there are eternal rewards in heaven. Awards, rewards, treasures. So once more, this does not have to be, and I hope you're getting what I'm sharing here, an either-or proposition, as so many people want to make it. But it can surely be, as so often is the case, a both-and situation. There can be both temporal and spiritual rewards for those who seek heaven's treasures. Rewards in the now and rewards in the later. But he is telling us that the more valuable ones are not in the now. Those are not the more valuable ones, the physical blessings and treasures. Matter of fact, I'm afraid that many in pursuit of those temporary earthly treasures will forfeit the eternal, enduring, secure one they could have in heaven as they pursue the others. And that seems to be Jesus's point, isn't it? Don't pursue those and forsake pursuing the treasure of heaven. Don't do that. Don't do that. For me, the greatest treasure that I have is God Himself. And all of my greatest longings can be found in my relationship with Him. Any of you know what I'm talking about? This means yes. Do you know what I'm talking about? And if you don't know, don't nod. If you're wondering, well, really? Is that true? Could I really be in a place where God is my greatest treasure? And that He matters more to me than anything else? All of the other things combined, that He is my greatest treasure? Can I be there? Can I really believe that could be so? Psalm 16:11 says, listen very carefully. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. I believe that psalm speaks about the benefit of the treasure of Him now and forever. In the now and forever. In His presence is fullness of joy. Why? Why? He's my treasure. He's my treasure. And at His right hand, see, are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 37, verse 4 promises this. And if you haven't marked this one down in your Bibles, mark it in your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you want the desires of your heart fulfilled? We talked about we long for things, we desire things in life that we believe would bless us and benefit us. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, and the idea is that we care about Him, we treasure Him more than anything else, it'll amaze you what He'll bless you with. But if you pursue those things and forsake Him, you'll find those things only being for now. And you're going to miss out on the greatest treasure of all. But you pursue Him. Didn't Jesus teach that in the Sermon on the Mount? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you needn't worry about the other things. He'll give them to you as well. Hallelujah. Seek Him. A relationship with Him who has everything, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who owns everything. He has everything. We saw again who wants to bless His children. We saw that, right? And with our lesson about prayer, we saw that. He wants to bless His children. Pursue Him. Pursue the relationship with Him instead of the stuff. I've shared this before. I love my kids. 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 I love my grandkids. Love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. And I love to bless them with stuff. I love to give them gifts. I do. It gives me joy to give them gifts. I love to give them the things they need. It gives me happiness to do that. I find fulfillment in doing that. As a father or grandfather, I love to do that. But you know, if all they want is the stuff I give them, my heart's broken. If all they ever want me to do is fulfill those needs, those material, temporal needs, but they don't want a relationship with me, I'm not saying I wouldn't bless them with those things. My heart's broken. And whether they realize it or not, they miss out on a relationship with their Father. Seek the treasure of God Himself through Jesus. Do you know He treasures you? You know He values you? The price tag He put on you was His Son. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son. Why? Well, so you could go on your merry way and so He could give you a bunch of stuff. No. So you wouldn't perish and you could be with Him forever and ever. And ever. He treasures you. Treasure Him. Since my treasure's in heaven, that's also where my heart is. Isn't that what Jesus said? Where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. There's where your heart. I used to quote this backwards all the time. I would say, well, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Though I quoted it wrong, I think it's still true. It's true. Because where your treasure is, your heart is. So where your heart is, your treasure is. It's there. Where's your heart today? Where's your treasure? May it be God Himself. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving us, caring about us, treasuring us so much that you would pay the ultimate price for us to be with you forever. And Father, I pray that we now will not only recognize that love that you have for us, but we will return that love. And we'll recognize the treasure of a relationship with you. God, it is so sweet to be in your presence. It is so assuring and peaceful and such a blessing to know that we are loved and we can return that love, that we can be intimately involved with you, not just for a while, but forever. Father, thank you. We praise you. And if there's anyone here today who they're treasuring everything else above you, I just pray, God, that there'll be a wake-up call, a knock on their heart this morning to make them realize that the stuff they're treasuring isn't going to last. But in treasuring you, there is reward that lasts forever. And the greatest reward of all is you. In Jesus' name.